We'll read the next text and the word for word synonyms. Dvam bhahan prakriti sukshma rajasattva tamomahi dvameva purusho dyaksha sarakshitra vikaravit. So you can repeat. Dvam,
your lordship.
Ekaha,
one.
Sarvabhutanam,
of
all living entities.
Deha,
of the body. Asu,
of the life force.
Atma,
of the soul.
Indriya,
of the senses.
Ishvaraha, the super soul, the controller. Tvam,
your lordship.
Eva,
indeed.
Kalaka,
the time factor.
Balavan,
the supreme personality of
Godhead.
Vishnu,
all pervading.
Avyayaha,
imperishable.
Ishvaraha,
controller.
Tvam,
your lordship.
Mahan,
greatest.
Prakatiki,
the cosmic manifestation.
Sukshma,
subtle.
Rajasattva tamamahi,
consisting of three modes of nature.
Passion, goodness, and ignorance.
Tvameva,
your lordship is indeed.
Purushaha,
the supreme person.
Adyakshaha,
the proprietor.
Sarvakshetra,
and all living entities.
Vikaravit,
knowing the restless mind.
So translation, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of everything.
The body, life, ego, and senses of every living entity are your own self.
You are the supreme person, Vishnu, the imperishable controller.
You are the time factor, the immediate cause,
and you are material nature,
consisting of the three modes of passion, goodness, and ignorance.
You are the original cause of this material manifestation. You are the super soul, and therefore you know everything within the core of the heart of every living being or entity. So, purport. Actually, repeat.
You are the supreme personality of Godhead.
The controller of everything.
The body, life, ego, and senses.
Of every living entity.
Are your own self.
You are the supreme person, Vishnu.
The imperishable controller.
You are the time factor.
The immediate cause.
And you are material nature.
Consisting of the three modes,
passion, goodness, and ignorance.
You are the original cause of this material manifestation.
You're the super soul.
And therefore you know everything
within the core of the heart
of every living entity.
So, purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
Srimad Madhvacharya has quoted from the Vamana Purana as follows.
Rupyut Vat Tu Jagata Rupam Vishnu Sakshat Sukhatmakam Nityapurnam Samudishtam Swarupam Paramatmanaha.
Can you give us a translation of that, Sanskrit expert?
Yeah. Have to sit down.
The form, you put that form to yours, Jagat, universe, form. So the universe is your form. Right?
The universe is directly the form of Vishnu.
Yeah, that's right. Directly the form of Vishnu. And it's very subtle. Sukhatma kam.
I think it's whose essence is happiness.
It's not Suksha.
Whose essence is happiness. Whose Atma is Sukha.
But is that is happiness?
Sukha.
Sukha Atma kam of the self?
Yeah, it might be a type of kam of the body.
Is eternally complete.
Mm-hmm.
Samudishtam, I don't know that word.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even go to the university. your form is Paramatma, or is it Paramatma?
Yeah.
The higher self. Yeah, I know what the Paramatma is. I mean, I don't think we need to translate that. Yeah. Super self. Okay. Hope you're going to do better after you graduate from Cambridge, you know. Hopefully, you know, pray. Okay. So much for our scholar. So there's no elaborate purport here. So we're going to go on to the next verse, which has a purport. Text 32. Agriyamanais tvam agrayo vikarai prakritair gunahai akom nivharhati vijyatum praksinam gunasamvritaha. O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world can understand you? As it is said, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Dabhavet Grayam Indriyai Seva Mukehi Jivado Swayameva Svaratyadaha. Krishna's name, attributes, and form are absolute truth existing before the creation. Therefore, how can those who are created, that is, those who are trapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? This is not possible. But Sevan Mukehi Dhuvado Swayameva Svarachidaha. Krishna reveals himself to those engaged in devotional service. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 15, by the Lord himself. Bhakya Man Abhijanati can only be known by bhakti. Even the descriptions of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam are sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, the best course by which to know him is to engage oneself in pure devotional activities. The more one advances in devotional activities, the more one can understand him as he is. If from the material platform one could understand Krishna, then Krishna is everything. Sarvakal idam brahma, one can understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world. But that is not possible. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyakti murtina matsdani sarvabhutani nahatmachaham teshvavasitam. That's from the Gita 9:4. By me in my impersonal form, I am spread everywhere. Matsdani sarvabhutani, I am situated in everything. But I'm above this material creation. Everything is resting on Krishna, and everything is Krishna, but this is not to be realized by persons on the material platform. So Om Ganati Madanda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshuana Miditanamena Tasmai Shigarabe Maha. So first I'm going to make reference to the first of the nutshell verses. Remember we were talking about the nutshell verses the other day? Which is the first of the nutshell verses?
In
the Bhagavatam.
Maybe.
No, what is the number?
2933.
Wow. You get your PhD. I am proud of you. So, 2933 I'm going to read. And how many nutshell verses are there? Okay. And what is the nutshell verse we talked about the other day?
Yeah, second.
Which is?
I don't know the Sanskrit. I think it's
Rute Ritam.
Yeah, something about Krishna existed before creation.
No, no, the first one is Krishna existed before creation. The second one is Rute Ritam na pratyeta na pratyeta chatanita vijadatmano mayam. Yatava sha yatatamaha. Remember that? No. That's the second of the nutshell verses. And let me find that verse here. I'll read a direct translation. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relationship to me, has no reality. That's a very heavy state. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So it's the same thing as that Bengali verse, Krishna Surya Samamaya Haya Andhakar. Krishna is the sun, Maya is the darkness. In other words, the absence of Krishna is illusion. If you're not Krishna conscious, there's no other state other than illusion. You could say, sometimes they ask me, well, are you thinking of Krishna? No, but I'm not Maya, they say. That would be, and then what are you in? If you're not in Maya and you're not in Krishna, what are you in? Brahmajyoti? I mean, I don't know. So there's either Krishna or Maya. You got a choice. You know, you got light or darkness. Of course, you got various shades between light and darkness. It's not that when you take up Krishna consciousness, all of a sudden it's like someone turns on the bright lights. The example given by Krishna in the Gita is like when the sun comes up in the morning. Sun coming up in the morning means gradual. Just like I'm walking in the morning chanting my japa. And of course when it's around June 23rd, which is actually the longest day of the year, around that time, then I can see everything. Or at least in the beginning of my japa, I can actually start to see shadows. And after that, things get a little clearer, black and white, and after that, I see colors. It's interesting, you know, in the dark, you can't actually see colors. You just see either black and white or just shadows. So the in this material world, anyway, it's not about today's verse, but I'm just going back a little bit, 2934. In this material world, that's all we're seeing is shadows. You remember the example I gave from Plato? Actually, it's Socrates, but it's Plato who wrote it. The cave analogy? That in the cave, it's so dark, all you see is shadows. And you're thinking, this is reality. And then someone comes from the outside, what does he say? Or someone goes to the outside and comes back, what does he say? There's a real world there. And you say, no! Just like if you say, you know, I go to some of the workers here in the pavilion or the hall, and say, this Krishna consciousness is a real world. It's just a religion. You know, that's what you believe in, you know, whatever. Whatever, you know, I think you need a psychiatrist. You know. I probably would often say, who's crazy? You know, so there's people who are crazy. I mean, just like, if you go to a mental institution, maybe they think we're crazy out here. Or, hate to use this example. There are certain followers of a certain politician who may think that we're crazy. And we think that they're crazy, right? I'm not going to mention the politician's name, of course. I'm not supposed to do that. We'll lose our tax-exempt status if I do that in class. So, anyway, so that's that verse. There's like a reflection that appears in darkness. So, all right, let's get back to text 33, which is the first of the nutshell verses. Ahamivasa mevagrena nevyat sarasatparam paschadhamana yaditaschad yo visheshayata soshmiham. And that verse is, I'll read the translation. Brahma, it is I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. There was, of course, there was the pradhan, but the material nature wasn't manifest. It was in the unmanifest stage. That which you see now is also I, the Personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the Personality of Godhead.
And of course, that's from the Vedas, Narayana Puravyakta. What does that mean?
Narayana is transcendental and unmanifested.
Puravyakta. You know, he's transcendental to this material world. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada was fond of quoting that particular verse. So, anyway, so the point is, before the creation, there was Krishna. During the creation, there was Krishna. So why don't we see Krishna? That's the point Prabhupada is making here. Well, there's a very good reason why we don't see Krishna. We don't have the right instruments to see God. Just like in any scientific pursuit, there's a necessity of having the right instruments to measure something. For example, as a common example we use, if you want to measure the temperature, you bring out a ruler. You know, ruler. Anyway, whatever. You know, yardstick, or meter stick, whatever you want to call it. So it measures inches or meters or centimeters. So what's the temperature? And you bring out a ruler. You know, let's say I ask the Kulenja, he's intelligent, what's the temperature? And he says, let me look in the tool chest. And here's the ruler. I said, this is foolish. You got to have the right instrument. And then he brings out a scale. You know, scale for measuring weight. I said, no. Sorry, not that you ever did such a thing like this. You gotta, and then finally, you know, after like 20 tries, he brings out a thermometer and tells me the temperature. So for measuring anything, there is a specific mechanism to measure that thing. Whether you're talking about temperature, or distance, or weight, or anything. You know, there's measurements. Or voltage, just like we worry about the electricity in the new hall. There's voltage, or amperage, or any of those things. There's a device. So right now, we have material senses. These are designated senses. Upadi, sarva upadi, vidya muktam, tatkana kurena nirmalam, rishikena rishikesha, sevanam bhaktu, chute. This is another verse of Prabhupada to quote here. We have upadi, the designations. You know, designations can mean certain things like labels, but they're designated. In other words, they're composed of what? Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then also we have another type of senses, which is called the mind, intelligence, and false ego. So these are the mechanisms that we're using right now. Mind, intelligence, false ego, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, panchamahabhuta, etc. So those don't work when you're dealing with spirit. You know, it's not that you can... I mean, an example sometimes devotees try to use to prove the existence of the soul is they say that the scientists have found that when someone dies, the body weighs 1/100th of a billionth of a gram. Yes. What a stupid example he is. Isn't it? I mean, I've heard devotees say that, you know, there's this new science. No, but actually the reason they weigh less, the person just went, breathe out, and that was the weight of the air they were breathing. The soul is transcendental. So the gross body has certain senses, and the subtle body has certain senses. And those senses can only observe, measure, perceive gross and subtle matter. That's it. You're not going to be able to prove or disprove the existence of the soul. I mean, there's certain, indirect evidence, such as consciousness. Isn't it? You know, cogito ergo sum. I think, or I'm aware, therefore I am. But still, you can't really touch consciousness. You can see indirectly I mean, I don't even know if you're conscious. Especially during Bhagavatam class. I don't know if Adi Bruce is conscious. I can't say for sure. You know, I can be an advocate of, what is it, solipsism, where I'm the only one who's conscious. I can't say for sure you're conscious. I haven't seen your consciousness. All I see is your actions. I mean, I could go in a video game and think that these little characters on the video game, of course, I've never played a video game other than Pac-Man. Or Mrs. Pac-Man, yeah. Or baby Pac-Man. You know, I could think that they're actually characters. You can actually, it's interesting, you can actually even relate to them in an emotional way. I mean, sometimes I relate to my computer in an emotional way, too. That stupid computer! But I know the computer, you know, philosophically, I know the computer's not conscious, but I have no way of knowing that you're not, that you're unconscious, a conscious entity. All I'm seeing is external stuff. So, therefore, you're not conscious. No cogito, no sum. Anyway, so, of course, I do have a way, and of course, that way is Shastra Chakshus. That's a descending process. I mean, just like, you know, the first thing you learn in Krishna consciousness, when you read the Upanishad, for example, is that we have frailties, you know, human frailties, like imperfect senses, and we have tendency to cheat, and we're making mistakes like that. And so, and we're also in big, big, heavy illusion. So the only way we know something is because it comes from the Shastra. That is our standard of belief. Otherwise, I actually even thought like that before I joined the movement, that I was the only one conscious. That if a tree fell in the forest and I wasn't there to observe it, it really didn't happen for all intents and purposes. And then, you know, people were, somehow or other, it was just this matrix that people had arranged just for me. Not people, but material energy arranged just for me. So anyway, so the only way to understand or see Krishna, or, you know, like it says, therefore, who trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world can understand, who trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world can understand it. The only way is to utilize our spiritual senses. But the statement is, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Dabhave Graimindi. And then also we have Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayamaiva Spurachara, that you can uncover your spiritual senses by using Jiva. Does anyone know what Jiva is? The tongue. Seva Mukhi, if one serves with the tongue, then one can actually begin to perceive Krishna. Wow. And how do you serve the tongue? Of course, it's eating prasadam. You've heard about that before. And on the opposite side, if you use your tongue improperly, then you have what? Vacho vegam, manas and krodha vegam, jiva vegam udra pashtave. The tongue can take you either way. It can take you either way. I mean, the tongue, of course, everybody knows, or maybe you don't know what the meaning of the prasadam prayer is. Dharmadev jivayati lobamoy sudurmati. That of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. So the tongue is actually, getting back to this verse, seva mukhe jivado, that's why I made it prachara. The tongue is our savior. What's that? Yeah, the tongue is our savior, and the tongue is sending us to hell. Right? Mm. Isn't it? I mean. Jiva vegam udara pashta vegam. You understand? So if you can control your tongue, I mean, controlling the tongue means more than just keeping your mouth shut. Like sometimes people try to control their eating process. They sometimes sew their mouth closed and they can just sit. Other times they staple the stomach. You heard about that before? Have you ever heard that? It's a common operation. They staple the stomach, but they can't control the tongue. So, we control the tongue by chanting the holy name of Krishna and eating the right quantity of prasada. Also, the statement is, many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasada. Oh my God. What does that mean? You can also overeat Mahaprasada. So, in other words, if you can control the tongue, then Cheto Darpanamarjana, Bhava Mahadvagni Nirapanam. Then, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can cleanse the mirror of the heart and then you can see Krishna. Because you have spiritual senses, you have the mechanism by which to perceive God. It's part of your spiritual identity. You have spiritual eyes. Prabhupada would often sometimes talk about how this body is like a glove. You understand? He probably gave a very interesting example. He said, just like, anyway, I don't want to use this, all the examples, but just like, I'm paraphrasing because it involves something sannyasis should talk about. But just like if you try to enjoy romantic affairs with gloves on and, you know, something over your lips, probably use the example of something else. But anyway, you know, let's say people, anyway, probably use an example of some other part of the body which I'm not going to mention in class. But let's say if you try to enjoy something with gloves on, you know, let's say touching something, holding your girlfriend's hand or something. I'm trying to think of some like non-controversial example. Let's say you and your girlfriend put on gloves and you hold each other's hands. Yeah, kitchen mittens is even worse. Or let's say sometimes you burn your tongue and you try to enjoy tasting. Yeah, but probably use the example of gloves. You know, when you put gloves on, you really can't feel anything. But the gloves indicate what? There's a hand underneath. I mean, what's the use of gloves? They indicate you have five fingers, hopefully. I mean, if you're intact. If you have five fingers, but you know, listen, using that, it's a metaphor. Metaphors are never perfect, but Prabhupada used it. But, so it indicates you have five fingers. And when you take off the glove, or just like, Tulsi has a cast on her foot, right? And you can't really, you know, someone says, let me massage your feet. You can't really get a foot movement. You can't touch the feet. When you take off the cast, you whatever. So it indicates there's something underneath the cast, there's something underneath the glove. So this gross body is a glove, and the subtle body is a glove that's on top, so you can't taste or touch anything. And so the whole point is dissolve the subtle body. Prabhupada said, actually it says in the third canto, devotional service, Lord Kapila, they said, devotional service dissolves the subtle body of the living entity. Doesn't mean you have no mind. Dissolves your mind intelligence. No, but your real mind, you have a real mind, a real intelligence, and a real ego. And then you can see Krishna face to face. It's called Jivan Mukta. Even in this body, you can see Krishna face to face. And the gross body actually becomes transformed too. Like we say, you know, we understand Prabhupada, his body was spiritual. Because Prabhupada said he used a microphone in Krishna's service. It doesn't become conscious, obviously. Not that I'm using this microphone. She mic. the lotus feet of my microphone. So, but it becomes spiritualized. It regains its original spiritual quality, Prabhupada said. Like put an iron rod in the fire, the iron rod gets hotter, 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 and fire. Like fire. So, that's the way we can see Krishna. Because Krishna is everywhere. He exists before the material creation, during the material creation, and continues to exist after the material creation. So, anyway, so Tad Shri Krishna Namadi, and also Seva Mukhehi Jivado Swayameva Spurachada. We serve Krishna with the tongue, it dissolves, it gets rid of the dust in the heart, which is actually the contamination of the subtle body, contamination, and then we see Krishna. Chaitra Dharpana Marjanam, Baba Mahad Bhagavad Dharpanam, Shreya Kaivavikan, Chandri Dharanam, Vijayabhad, Chipadam, Anandam, Bhudivardam, Pratipadam, Pradam, Rataspadam, Sarvabhama Snapanam, Haram, Vijayate, Shri Krishna, Sankirtanam. So, go on Sankirtan. You understand? Go on Sankirtan. So, any questions or comments? And tomorrow we'll get to the Krishna's appearance in the material world, because tomorrow is Janmashtami. And the next day is Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, commemoration. Any questions or comments? Or problems? Remember, so what are the nutshell verses? 2-9 what?
3, 4, 5, 6.
He says, okay. And what is 2-9-34?
34 is talking about basically if anything wonderful in the world, and then you see it as
you say anything you see what?
Anything amazing that you see, you really see.
Well, not, it doesn't really say amazing, but anything.
It's basically nothing else.
And if you say anything of any value, yeah. It's actually not. And 2-9-35 is what? Two-nine-thirty-five is actually a Chitra Veda Veda Tapa. 35 is Yata Mahanti Bhutane Bhuteshat Cheshvahu Ravishtani Apravishtani Tateshu Nateshvaham. Can you translate that?
I have to look at it.
No. Please know that universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I'm outside of everything. That's similar to the beginning of the 9th chapter of the Gita, right? Mayatatam? Jagat? Jagat, you remember? Jagatavyaptamurtina matstani sadhavadina amteshvavastataha. Right? Okay, and then the last one, the last verse is actually very important too. That a person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. In other words, you have to be fully engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. Yeah.
What does it mean when it says to search after
life?
Searching after the absolute truth, understanding the absolute truth. It's the same thing as the Vedanta. Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. You understand? Now is the time. You know, that it expands on the Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Because the Bhagavatam is the commentary on what?
Vedanta Sutra.
Vedanta Sutras. And the Vedanta Sutras are a commentary on what?
Upanishads.
The Upanishads, he knows. So that we have a squalor here. Oh, scholar, sorry. You don't know that word, squalor.
Squalor?
No, ask the devotees later what it means. They're squalor and scholar.